And you have it in the program on page 5. And I would like invite always these people who are there, our professors, that they can tell us something more about different things they were publishing. Therefore, first I would like to invite Dr. Jerry Moon and Dr. Denny Fortin to come forward. You will have this mic here. And you have a very, big, thick book with you, and the Ellen G. White Encyclopedia. And I see not only one editor, but two editors. How many pages?
1465.
Wow. How many years took you to put all this together?
Well, we had the copy to the review after about 11 years, but it's been 13 now, or 14, 14 actually.
14 years of hard work. And how many co-workers are with you here?
183 authors.
183 other authors. Well, yes, it was a privilege for me to be. Well, why did you decide to put together Encyclopedia of Ellen G. White? We have so many books about Ellen G. White. We have all the writings. Why suddenly Encyclopedia?
Well, it was George Knight's idea.
It was his idea, but you had to work hard, right?
Yes. But the purpose for it, the purpose was that even though there are so many publications about Ellen White, if, let's say, a newspaper reporter wants to find out when she was born or died or married or where she lived in Michigan or something like that, mm-hmm. there's no one source a person can go to. The material is scattered over hundreds of publications and websites and everything else, and so the purpose was to put a basic summary of all we know about Ellen White mm-hmm. within two covers in an alphabetical order so that people can easily find what they need.
Very good. What did you learn when you did for 14 years the whole project? Lenny.
What did we learn? A lot of things about Ellen White. I mean, Jerry and I likely read the manuscript two or three times each, corresponding with authors.
Some parts of it five or six or eight times.
Oh, yes. there are approximately 1,100 articles in the book. Some are fairly long, some are very, very short. Articles on the people that Ellen White corresponded with. Topics about Ellen White, theological topics, historical events in her life. Almost all of the books of Ellen White during her lifetime or after her lifetime are included in the book, or something is said about them, and on and on. I mean, we've learned a lot of things about Ellen White.
Very good. Well, then, if we want to know something about what she said, let's say about circumcision, we have to find it here also?
No, you won't. Not that one.
Not that one. Therefore, what is the knowledge here? What is the knowledge?
It will not replace the CD-ROM.
All right.
That's true.
Therefore, yeah, that's true. A comprehensive understanding of what she was teaching about and what she did in her life.
That's right, yes.
Okay, yep. This is why it's Encyclopedia. Well, was it something particularly interesting as to your experience when you were editing and dealing with all of us, authors? What was the most, maybe shocking or interesting for you?
When it comes to Ellen White, I think the knowledge, one big aspect of knowledge that I learned is reading all these articles about people that Ellen White was in relationship with. Oh, there's a treasure of information of how she related with people. Sometimes a little harsh, sometimes very kind, very pastoral in her approach to people. That exudes very much in that section of the book that is about the biographical section of the book. I learned an awful lot in that section.
Very good. Yeah. Therefore, this is like a treasure, and the old things and also new things can come out of it, right?
Yes.
Therefore, we want to really thank you for this faithful and godly scholarship in regard to Ellen G. White.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The second project we have is Dr. Hyveth Williams, her book. Therefore, please come in here. And you have a very lovely book. You also gave me one copy.
Yes.
And the title is Secrets of a Happy Heart.
Yes.
We know you as a cheerful person. So tell us, why did you choose this title, Secrets, Heart, and Happy?
Because I'm a woman who loves secrets.
Very good.
Or unfolding them. And I have a happy heart.
Happy heart, yes.
Yes, all right.
Cheerful, happy heart.
Yes. But it's really about the Beatitudes.
Therefore, I just wanted to ask you, what is the content of this happy heart?
It's a fresh new look at the Beatitudes, because Jesus didn't say, blessed are they, as most of us know, but he said, happy are you when you do certain things.
Okay.
And I just wanted to explore that kind of happiness. Why would he say, happy are they that mourn? People aren't happy when they mourn. So that's
very good.
Yeah.
So you are bringing this happiness, not only blessedness, but because blessed and happy is coming together.
Yeah.
And what did you learn from writing this book?
I learned quite a lot, especially about myself, in looking at the Beatitudes. As a pastor, I found that I really didn't have a lot of time to do the deep explorations in the scripture that I wanted to do to inform myself and to help my congregation understand better. And so I wrote this with pastors in mind, so that I've put a lot of illustrations and a lot of explanations of various words and things that would empower pastors to preach a fresh sermon from
the Beatitudes. And this book is for gender inclusive here, or
only for one group
of people?
Oh, yes. Everything, because I'm single, doesn't mean everything is gender inclusive in my life. I have a son, which makes me very gender inclusive. Yes, it's for men and women, but it's especially for those who want to preach authentically the Word of God as it pertains to the Beatitudes.
All right, thank you very much for
your
beautiful book. Next one, I would like to invite Felix Cortez to come. And you don't have only one thing in your hand, but you have actually three. Could you tell us something about this? Did you know?
Yeah.
What is all about?
Well, this is a devotional book.
It's in English. Here is in French
and
here
Spanish.
Is in Spanish.
Yes.
What is all about here?
Well, the Inter-American Division and the South American Division asked me to write the devotional book for young people in 2013. So that is the book, and they published it in the three languages.
Therefore, this is a book for me, right?
Yes,
is it for young people?
Yes.
Therefore,
yes.
Very good. And then what is the content for all these young people?
The content is, it has a lot of stories, a lot of facts, science, interesting things to make you think about, ponder about, and then spiritual lessons from there that you can apply in your life.
Very good. Well, it looks like that it's very popular, because it's already not only in English, but also in Spanish and in French. Therefore, young people must like it, right?
Yes. Yes. It was published also for Kindle, because it ran out of print very early. So they put it in Kindle so that everybody could access it. Yeah.
Okay. It's also for the seminarians, or only for the young people?
Of course. So seminarians are included there as well. Yes.
They can learn from it?
Well, from there you can find always something new for you to start your day. I have facts from people, from biography, also from neuroscience, also from history, also from nature. It is like going out every day and finding something new that tells you about God.
Very good. Then
learning a lesson from there.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, you see how diverse we are here. You have each project is completely different. And this is very good. Thank you. Praise
Thank
the
you
Lord
very much.
For your faithful scholarship. Also.
Thank you.
Well, next I would like to invite Dr. Bruce Bauer, and he is very productive in many things, but one book I would like to highlight, and this is Revisiting Postmodernism, an old debate on a new era. Could you tell us something about that book?
Well, this book came about because Kleber Gonzalez, who is the Study Center Director for Secular Postmodern for a Global Mission, planned a conference here at Andrews in the fall of 2012.
Yes.
And
but it was published last year.
It was published 2013. These are the proceedings, the plenary sessions, and also some of the breakout. 21 topics on postmodernism.
Therefore, it's I was looking through that. It's some lectures about atheism.
Yes.
I saw there. Why about postmodernism? The whole book in Adventism.
Well, I think that it's challenging for us to shift our paradigm and begin to look at the context. We're very good at preaching to people who were 20, 30 years ago, but we're not very good at presenting the gospel to people who have a postmodern perspective.
Okay, therefore, secularism, we need to preach to secular people.
Yes.
And what about secularism coming into Adventism?
Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? I don't know if that's presented too much, but there are 21 topics, some of them very philosophical, some of them very practical, so it's a good mix if you're interested in various approaches to the postmodern emerging generations. This should be helpful.
Therefore, if you want to be up to date and how to really approach people with postmodern mind, please, this is the book.
Yep.
Thank you for your faithful scholarship here. The next the book I would like to present is from our professor, Dr. Wagner Kuhn. And I know that you put together this very interesting book, Redemption and Transformation. But usually we take it as a theological theme, or redemption, salvation, transformation, I need to be different. But you have a subtitle, Through This Redemption and Transformation Through Relief and Development. This is a little bit different. Could you tell us something about that?
Well, probably one of the reasons is that I worked many years for ADRA in relief and development. And I went through many different experiences that kind of enlightened me or gave me experiences then to put in a book. But also, the book talks much about incarnational mission. You know, it's not easy to incarnate the gospel in practical ways, in real, concrete ways. For example, Andrew Wall, this famous Scottish historian, theologian, says that politics is the art of the possible. Translation is the art of the impossible. And the book is about, you know, how God has translated the reality of heaven into human language, that the gospel becomes touchable, real, audible, and you can understand what he has done when he came as a man. So, you know, I do a survey through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and also a historical survey of what happens, you know, when the gospel becomes practical, and you have healing, and you have the whole integration of the human person, you know, a holistic ministry, an incarnational ministry in word and in deed.
Therefore, this is explain why you have another subtitle, Biblical, Historical, and Contemporary Perspectives of God's Holistic Gospel.
Correct.
I am very pleased that the gospel and salvation is not only something theoretical, but it touches human hearts, changes, and brings salvation. And the salvation is actually materialized even in the things like what ADRA is providing.
Correct.
From Wagner, thank you very much for your faithful scholarship also in this way. Yes. Okay. Well, the next person I would like to invite is Dr. Terry Robertson. And he was involved in another totally different project. But I think this project is also very useful and helpful for you. This is a book which has the title, Your Guide to Writing Quality Research Papers for Students of Religion and Theology. And Terry is co-editor of this, or author of this book, with Nancy Fiemeister. Therefore, why? I know that before it was usually always Nancy Fiemeister, like the first edition and second edition. Now is the third edition, and you are the co-author. Could you tell us why?
Yes, Nancy knows a lot about doing research. She's been doing it for decades, and this book reflects much of her wisdom. And there's a lot in there that would be of benefit to everyone who has to write a research paper. Anybody exempted here? However, she has not been actively teaching for the last 10 years, and a lot of things have happened in the library and with technology since then. And she invited me to come and help with those areas of the book, using the library, using technology, these kinds of things. And I was happy and honored that she invited me to do this.
Yes, when I go through the table of contents, you have like 23 chapters here. Like the first is, what is research? Second, biblical exegesis and interpretation. Then literary research. And it goes on and on, like formatting the paper, reference notes and bibliographical entries and so on. For it's very practical, correct?
This is an excellent and practical tool just to pick up a little bit here and a little bit there that will make the entire process much less daunting. What really matters is your intelligent and gifted content, what you've learned, what you're communicating, and this book just provides some ways to get there faster and to make it look better when you're done.
Yes, you know, very often I receive the question from you students, well, is there any ideal paper that we can know how to write it and all this information? Is it something like that? Well, there were many always, you know, tools, but now we have very good authoritative tool with the latest, even how to access online things, articles and books.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Therefore, did you learn also something new when you were preparing this textbook?
There's a lot of things that Dr. Fiemeister knows about types of research that are particularly pertinent to a Doctor of Ministry program, et cetera, that I really have never experienced or gone into. And it was good to read those. I have a better picture now of what's expected of many of those in that area.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for this practical tool. Thank you in the name of all the students who need that. And the last project I would like to present is with Randy Younger, who was involved in it. And this is, you know, a very long, different format book. And I had the privilege to be present when he received this complimentary copy. It was in Bethlehem, like 2 weeks ago. And therefore, this was very, very good when we were in Jerusalem Center making, you know, new perspectives and new possibilities how seminary will again have the study semester in Jerusalem. And there are good news which are coming later, but not in this assembly today. And in that occasion, we also were in Bethlehem. You receive it. And it was a nice ceremony. I saw, you know, like Catholic priests there, and the books about visit of Pope in the Middle East. And among these all books were this one.
Yes.
Therefore, tell us something more about this book, which has the shrine of the beheading of Saint John the Baptist and the origin of Madaba, Jordan. Tell us, why were we involved in that?
The reason we got in this book, we've been working in Jordan for the last 40 years, and we've been excavating the site of Jalul near Madaba for the last 22 years. It has something to do with Old Testament history and the Exodus, all these wonderful stories. We've been looking at the town of Madaba, which is mentioned in the Bible, throughout our research time there, but no one's been able to do much work in Madaba because it's an occupied town originally a Christian village. Mm-hmm. Archaeologists have wanted to dig in here, but because of all the modern buildings, you can't dig in, you know, people's basements very easily. Well, one day I met the Catholic priest whose church is on the top of this biblical town of Madaba. And when he discovered I was an Adventist archaeologist, he said, "How would you like to dig under my church?" I would love to. And so we started preparations for that. And the way the book came about, in the process of doing our research for this archaeological historical work, he said, "I need to get permission from my boss. Could you come meet my boss?" And I thought it was just a local bishop. And I said, "Well, okay." I would just come in from the field wearing dirty clothes. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You need to come right away." And I said, "I'll be there in just a minute." He says, "Well, I'm leaving a car for you." And he left. So I finished what I was doing. I was in my dirty jeans and shirt. I went out to the front of the hotel. There was a car waiting for me. A man in a suit. He drives me down to a mansion in the southern part of Madaba. And there's a whole bunch of cars in front of this mansion. And I drive into the driveway, or I'm driven to drive, and I see this limousine, black limousine with flags on the hood of the car. And I thought, my goodness, the Pope is here. It turned out to be the Patriarchate of Jerusalem, and they were having a major audience. And I walked into this. Everybody stood. It was a room almost the size of this chapel. They were all dressed in their Sunday best clothes, except for me. And I was introduced to the entire congregation as a professor from Andrews University who is going to dig under the Catholic Church and reveal the history. And the Patriarchate, who directly reports to the Pope, was in his regalia. I sat next to him in front of the entire audience, and he interviewed me, asked me what I was going to do, and he gave me permission. And the result of that was this book, which tells the history of the Christians in Madaba since the time of Jesus. And we had full access to the materials, and the Patriarchate himself wrote the foreword, and it was published by the Catholic Church. Mm. I should mention there's no theology, and it's pure history and archaeological research on this important biblical town.
Yes, very
so the,
good.
The book just came out.
So it's very important to have good relationship with people from other denomination, correct?
Absolutely. I was a little wondering about them letting an Adventist work with them, but they said, "You have to understand, this town, we're having a lot of Muslims move in, and we Christians need to hang together." And he says, "We're happy to have the Adventists help defend Christianity for us." And so this book actually is partly a missionary effort to show the historical precedent for Christianity in Jordan, in a presently Muslim country. So it has a mission important. It's being sold at the church to promote Christianity in Madaba.
This is very good. Last project was published by Zondervan, and this one is by Catholic Press.
By the Patriarch
it's,
Press.
Yes, but Patriarchal Press. And then you have text in Arabic, in English, and in French.
Right.
And I know that you have also very rare photography here. Could you tell us something about this?
Well, we wanted old photographs to show what Madaba looked like when it was resettled by the Christians in the 19th century. So we went to the École Biblique, the French school in Jerusalem, and I met a priest there, a French priest, and he gave me access to all these very old photographs from the 19th century of when the town was first settled by the Bedouin, Christian Bedouin, actually. So this book publishes some very rare and previously unpublished photographs of the early Arabs, Christians, as they were settling this region. So it's kind of a gem in that respect.
Yes. Yeah. Therefore, you had access to the very rare
photographs and documents. And my colleague, Dr. Lynn, who joined our project about 3-4 years ago, she's fluent in Italian and French, so she helped me translate and decipher a lot of these old letters and documents as the Christians are moving into this area.
Very good.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Randy, for this faithful scholarship also
thank
in
you.
Regard of archaeology. Yes. Well, as you know, during this recognition assembly each year, we are awarding two awards. One is, Daniel A. Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award, and second one is Sigrid H. Horn Excellence in Research Award. I don't go now, because of time, into the history of these awards, but the first one is for teaching, and the second one is for doing research. This is where the main emphasis. Of course, you cannot separate teaching and research, and research and teaching. It's always together. And when this award is given, the first one is actually the person is nominated by the faculty here. All, let's say, this 40 faculty are nominating the fellow professor of them. And the other one is nominated by the research office with Dr. Christian Arthur. I have now the privilege to announce who are the recipients of this two awards in excellency in teaching and also in research. And I will start with the first one. The recipient for the Daniel A. Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award for this year, 2013, is, well, this is like 14, but for the year 1913, is Dr. Jerry Moon. You know, Dr. Moon was teaching for like around 20 years now, right, in the theological seminary. He's the chair of the Christian History Department, and I know that many of you refer to him as a beloved teacher. And to have the full citation of it, I ask not the chair of the department, because he's the chair of the department, I ask Dr. Jerry Reeve, John Reeve, to come and read citation. Is he here? Up there, okay. He's very far now. Therefore, before he will come, may I ask you a question? What is the greatest joy for you while teaching here in the seminary?
I try to give each student three things in each class. One is the theoretical foundation that you can build on when you go to another class in the same field.
Okay.
A second is I want to see every student converted and living eternally in heaven.
Okay, very good.
And
amen.
Third, I try to give them something for today.
All right, excellent. That not only for the future, that they can be also with the faithful leadership brought to salvation, but also to have a good material to teach others around.
Yes. And to be a happy Christian right now.
Very good. Thank you. Well, John, please give us this citation.
Jerry Moon learned under Kenneth Strand and George Knight to be an excellent teacher and an excellent researcher. He has carried on this tradition and is now mentoring myself and Trevor Areggio and Nick Miller. I was looking for where Nick, there he is, up the top there, Nicholas Miller, and is doing an excellent job in carrying on the tradition of expecting and advancing excellence in research and in teaching. And Jerry has done this without being a cantankerous professor who knuckles on everybody and makes sure that everybody knows that he's in charge. Because Jerry is the most soft-spoken, loving individual that I could imagine having for a chair in my department and a teacher here at the seminary. So Jerry, thank you very much for your excellence in teaching and your carrying on an excellent tradition of teaching. And of course, you also took classes from Daniel Augsburger himself. He was on your dissertation committee. So thank you very much, Jerry. Congratulations on being the 2013 recipient of the Daniel A. Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much. Yes, sure, sure.
Every year, we have a form circulated in which we indicate who we think should receive a teaching award. And I can think of several others that I would have guessed would receive this. And I really never expected to receive it myself. So thank you for the honor. I appreciate it and pray that God will help me to continue to teach.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Thank you. Well, now is my privilege also to announce you who is the recipient of the Secret H. Horn Excellence in Research Award. And the name is Dr. Roy Gain. Well, you know Dr. Roy Gain very well, and you know that he is also very faithful in his research and scholarship, and this is my joy really to give it to you. But also, I would like in that moment invite also Christian Arthur and our beloved provost, Dr. Andrea Laxton, to come and congratulate. I know that it will come officially for both of them in the beginning of March, but it is good because it's coming from your office. Therefore, I would like that you are recognized here. Do you want to say something?
I was given a microphone, so I had not planned on saying anything, but just to say that research is such a core part of who we are as an institution. And I think you said it very well before, research and teaching, teaching and research. And so congratulations, really, to both individuals who have awards today. We're very proud of the seminary and the wonderful work that is done here. So congratulations.
Very good. I would like now to invite the chair of the Old Testament Department, Dr. Paul Gregor, to give a citation in regard to Roy Gain.
Okay, I've been working very closely with Roy's wife last few weeks behind his back to get some information that you might want to hear about Roy. Dr. Roy Gain was born in Sydney, Australia, and lived there until he was 6 years old. In 1962, he and his family sailed from Sydney to San Francisco. In 1977, Dr. Gain's dedication to excellence led him to graduate magna cum laude with a Bachelor of Arts degree in theology and Bachelor of Music in piano performance from Pacific Union College in California. He went to earn his PhD in Biblical Hebrew language and literature from University of California in Berkeley in 1992. His dissertation entitled Ritual Dynamic Structure, Systems Theory and Ritual Syntax Applied to Selected Ancient Israelite, Babylonian and Hittite Festival Plays. That's the end of it. Yeah. After graduating from the University of California, Dr. Gain worked for 2 years as an assistant professor in the religion department at Pacific Union College. In 1994, Dr. Gain accepted a call to the Old Testament department of the Adventist Theological Seminary at Anderson University. In 2002, he was appointed professor of Hebrew Bible and ancient Near Eastern languages. In addition to Biblical Hebrew, Dr. Gain has studied both modern and rabbinic Hebrew, German, French, and other ancient languages, among which are Akkadian, New Testament Greek, Aramaic, Hittite, Sumerian, Ugaritic, and Syriac. Total of 17 languages. With the publication of his book, Cult and Character, Dr. Gain attained international recognition as one of the foremost scholars in Biblical Hebrew studies in Leviticus. This book was out of print for some time, but this message came to my email yesterday saying, Eisen Browns is pleased to announce that Cult and Character, Purification Offerings, Day of Atonement, and Theodicy by Andrews University's own Dr. Roy Gain was recently reprinted in a new paperback edition.
And it is here.
It is here, and you can buy it for 50% discount. Now hurry. Where am I? Moreover, with his authorship of the NIV application commentary Leviticus and Numbers published by Zondervan, Dr. Gain became the first Seventh-day Adventist to have written a volume in a major non-Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary series. One of the significant contributions of this volume is that the sanctuary doctrine, which is so fundamental to Adventist theology and is definitely expressed in the Hebrew of the book of Leviticus, is clearly articulated by Dr. Gain. As a result of Dr. Gain's scholarship, this biblical understanding of the sanctuary and its profound implications for the Christian life has now become accessible to the broader evangelical world. In a guide to biblical commentaries and reference works published by John Evans, his work on Leviticus is listed as the primary tool for students and scholars alike. In addition, Dr. Gain has published 8 additional books, 10 in total, and chapters for 29 books and 8 articles for encyclopedias. Also, he published 58 articles for professional and academic journals. Altogether, Dr. Gain has published over 4,500 pages, which would equal to a 3,000-foot-long scroll in Old Testament times. And to create such a scroll, at least 1,000 sheep had to be slaughtered. So if we live in Old Testament times, I would say to save the sheep, Dr. Gain, write no more. But we are not, so I will be happy to see next 5,000 pages in next 5 years. In addition to various other awards, Dr. Gain received the Daniel Augsburger Excellent in Teaching Award in 2005 and John N. Andrews Medallion in 2007 for his outstanding contributions to student learning and his enthusiasm for his field. He encourages and mentors his students on a daily basis, which is reflected in his students' appreciation. In spite of the fact that Dr. Gain is expert in Levitical law, he is still husband to one wife, Dr. Connie Gain, and father to their daughter, Sarah. I have personally known Dr. Gain for 20 years, and I have never seen him frustrated or angry. As teacher and scholar, he became a valuable pillar of the Old Testament department. He uses his God-given gifts well in academic world and represents him and his institution before the world. Indeed, Dr. Gain is a true scholar, excellent teacher, and above all, humble servant of living God. For his contributions to scholarly biblical studies and his tireless commitment to Andrews University, it is my pleasure to present Dr. Roy Gain, the Siegfried H. Horn Excellence in Research Award.
Well, this is all for this celebration of the goodness of God and how He's giving us the gifts in order to write, teach, serve in this church. And we need to now praise the Lord again for all His goodness. And I would like to ask Dr. Roy Gain to lead us in the final prayer. Let's stand for prayer.
Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gifts that you've given to us of brains to reflect, minds to imagine and create and think. Thank you for all the diversity of our minds so that we can work together, see things from different angles, because you alone can see everything. We have all limited perspectives, but as we view your magnificence and your glory, as one would look at a diamond that's reflected from different angles to see its incredibly beautiful facets, we see the face of Jesus in everything. We thank you so much for redeeming us for his life and for giving us the hope of moving into a better life where our curiosity is going to be satiated much more than it is here. We'll be able to wing our way to other worlds. We'll be able to explore the mysteries of creation in ways that we never dreamed of. We'll be able to look into your face and do history as we interview great people from Bible times. Thank you for all that you do for us, for all of the strength. And when it's all over, Lord, we're just unprofitable servants. To you be all the glory We just work here. You're giving the opportunities, we're taking them by that choice. But you're giving all the strength. Everything is by your grace. May we never forget it. May we never forget why we're here and why what all this research is about. Everything is focused on you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, please take up...